Hello, everybody, and welcome into the Apples and Genos Fantasy Hockey Podcast. My name is Nate Grunewald, and I will be your host. Today, we're going to continue the projection series where I go through my projections for the 2022-23 season team by team and just bring up anything I think is of special importance for fantasy. These projections are available. You can find them on the Apples and Genos website. They're pinned on my Twitter profile. They're in the Apples and Genos Discord server. Basically, anywhere you find Apples and Genos content, you will find these projections. Now, let's get into it. The first team that I want to talk about is the Nashville Predators, and the first player I want to talk about is Philip Forsberg, who I have down for 35 goals and 84 points in my projections. Obviously, that's a bit of a step back from where he was last season, but I think most people are on to the fact that Forsberg was running pretty hot last year, and we shouldn't really expect him to be the absolute world beater that he was when he was healthy last year. So I think Forsberg for 84 points is pretty healthy and pretty in line with what most people are thinking. I don't think this one should surprise a lot of people, but just wanted to add my voice to the mix on Forsberg. The second player that I'll bring up is Roman Josi. Again, 18 goals, 82 points, a step back from where he was, which is kind of a theme with most of these Nashville players. Nashville as a team was just kind of way in over their heads in terms of shooting percentage and things of that nature. So Josi down to 82 points, still obviously one of the top defensemen in the league, probably the second defenseman drafted in most leagues this year, and probably my second ranked defenseman in most formats. But 18 goals, 82 points, nothing too exciting here. If you can get Josi in the third round, then he's an absolute smash. In the late second, I'm definitely in, and probably in the early second in some formats as well. The third player, Matt Duchene, who I have for 30 goals and 74 points. Another step back from last year. Common refrain for these Nashville players, but I do think Duchene showed some real chemistry with the other players on that top line and top power play. I do think that part is for real, so I don't see him really regressing to where he was prior to last year. But I do think that to expect him to continue what he did last year would be a little foolish. So 30 goals, 74 points is where I have him this year. The second team we'll talk about are the New Jersey Devils. First up, Jesper Bratt, who I have for 25 goals, 79 points. So obviously, I'm all in on Jesper Bratt, and I believe basically the production that he put out last year. I think he fits really well with what they're trying to do there in their top six, and I just can't really see anything under the hood that would suggest to me that Bratt should experience some significant regression. But speaking of regression, the second player that I want to talk about is Nico Hischier. 22 goals and 66 points is what I have him for. A lot of people, I think, got pretty excited with Hischier's back half of the season, where he got a bunch more minutes. He had some pretty unsustainable numbers in terms of shooting percentage, IPP, on-ice shooting percentage. All that stuff was up pretty high. And I really think that Hischier is just this guy, 65-point player, kind of ho-hum, more of a streamer than an everyday fixture in your lineup for most, I guess, standard league sizes anyway. So Nico Hischier, 22 goals, 66 points. That's where I'll have him. Not someone I'm going to get too excited about for this year. The third player will be Dougie Hamilton, who I have down for 15 goals and 55 points. I do think Hamilton is going to take the power play one role back this season, and I just can't imagine that the Devils are going to go on not giving him that role after giving him a huge contract. I think last year was just kind of a weird year, first year in a new place. Should be fully settled this year and should take over that role. And yeah, he'll be a shot monster. He has solid, if not terrific, peripherals. So I think Dougie Hamilton may actually end up being a pretty good value in most drafts. The third team will be the New York Islanders. At the top, you got to talk about Matthew Barzal, who I have for 21 goals and 78 points. So definitely viewing last year as a bit of an aberration and expect him to bounce back in full and lead this team in point scoring. the next player, Noah Dobson, who I have for 13 goals and 50 points. I have a little bit of worry about Dobson. Just see some potential for downside. Last year's IPP was ninth among all defensemen, so that gives me some cause for concern in a player who we just don't have a large sample size on yet. Some defensemen are able to sustain these higher IPP numbers and higher shooting percentages and things of that nature, but we just don't have that confidence with Dobson. We don't have multiple years to go back and check and see that he's done this before. So that gives me a bit of pause with Dobson that he might not be this guy. And then it's just the situation with the Islanders, the new coach, everything. We don't really know how that might affect Dobson, if he's going to be the sole top power play quarterback. We assume so, but there's more, obviously more downside risk because we're assuming so, than there is upside risk that he does something greater than what we're expecting already. And lastly on the Islanders, I've got to mention my guy, Oliver Wahlstrom, who I have for 25 goals and 42 points. And honestly, that's with 13 minutes, 45 seconds average time on ice. So really not taking much to get Wahlstrom to these heights. I think Wahlstrom is definitely one of the more talented players on this team. I just don't know if Lane Lambert sees it the same way. So that's what we'll wait to see. If Wahlstrom gets up on the top line and starts seeing 17, 18 minutes of time on ice, then definitely I think Wahlstrom could be one of the biggest breakouts of this season. I just really need to see where he's going to slot in the lineup, if he's going to get on a top power play unit, all those kinds of things we need to see before we really anoint Oliver Wahlstrom as one of the biggest sleepers for this year. The next team will be the New York Rangers. I have Artemi Panarin for 27 goals, 99 points. I think we know what Panarin is at this point in time. He's going to do this kind of every year. He's not going to score a ton of goals, but he's going to have an absolute crap load of assists, and he's going to be one of the point leaders in the entire league. So if that's what you're after, if you're in a points-only league, then Panarin obviously one of the best. If you're in a Bangers-Cats league, then Panarin takes a significant hit because he doesn't really do much of the peripheral stuff. So Panarin, kind of exactly what you expect for next year. Second player, Adam Fox. Pretty similar, honestly. 12 goals, 72 points is what I have him for. I think that Fox has established himself as one of the elite defensemen in the league. I don't anticipate that there's a ton of downside from this. Like, I can anticipate Fox getting less than 60 points. I don't think he has the same kind of upside as, you know, Hedman, Makar, and Yossi, so I don't think he has, like, the point per game upside. It seems to me, just from the underlying stats, that he's kind of as efficient as he probably ever will be. So I don't see him really getting to that next level, but I do think that 72 points is a pretty fair projection for him. And lastly, Vincent Trocheck, the new addition to the Rangers here, and ostensibly Artemi Panarin's new center now that Ryan Strome has moved on to the Anaheim Ducks. I have Trocheck for 23 goals and 62 points, and Trocheck is also a big-time banger, so you love to see that for your Bangers-Cats leagues. I think Trocheck should slot in on the top power play and with Panarin, and he should fit pretty well. It'll be interesting because he's definitely a different type of player than Ryan Strome was, but I can't imagine that Panarin's going to really make him much worse than he was before, so 62 points feels like a solid projection for Trocheck. Trocheck has been this kind of wild card where he kind of disappears at times, and that's definitely still possible, but you have to think that Panarin, being one of the best players he's ever had the opportunity to play with, should kind of even out some of Trocheck's rough edges, if you will. Before we get into the last four teams, I just want to remind you to check out the Apples and Genos Patreon and see if that's something you'd be interested in subscribing to for this year. I've released a sleeper article, I've released a busts article over on Patreon only for subscribers, and there's plenty more content to come. Basically, the perks that you'll receive for becoming a Patreon subscriber: you get guaranteed answers to all of your fantasy questions and a weekly waiver wire article from me. And if you go up to the higher tier, then you can also get monthly team reviews with me, and we'll get on a Zoom session, or we can do it over text as well. But I'll go over your team, I'll give you a roster breakdown and some trade targets, and kind of just give you some next steps for continuing to improve your team throughout the fantasy season. The link for this is in the show description of the podcast episode that you're listening to, or you can find it online at www.patreon.com/applesgenos. Let's move into the fifth team here. That's going to be the off-season darling Ottawa Senators. And one of their off-season acquisitions, Alex DeBrincat, I have for 35 goals, 74 points. The thing with DeBrincat is he got an unreal amount of playing time when he was in Chicago. And it's hard to see that happening just given that Ottawa has a much deeper top six than Chicago did last year. So that kind of brings DeBrincat's ceiling back down a little bit. So 35 goals, 74 points, definitely has some room for upside from this, but I do think we should temper our expectations for DeBrincat in a new situation. Probably going to see a little bit less even strength time on ice. So yeah, I have DeBrincat for a little bit less than what he did last year. Next player, Brady Tkachuk, who I have for 28 goals and 68 points. It's just hard when going through Tkachuk's underlying numbers to really project him for a big breakout season. So I have Tkachuk down here. It doesn't feel good, if I'm being honest. I feel like I want to project him for a little bit more. But again, you have a very even top six now. You wonder if that takes the edge off some of the minutes. And so 68 points is where I end up with Tkachuk. And the third player, Thomas Chabot, who I have for 10 goals and 56 points. Chabot is one of these guys who just gets so many minutes that he's always going to produce almost regardless of how efficient he is with those minutes. With the new acquisitions, you expect the power play will be a little better. Chabot has historically not been actually all that great on the power play. But with the new additions, that should provide him with a little boost both on the power play and at 5-on-5. So I like Chabot for 56 points. I think he even has upside beyond that. Definitely one of the better kind of mid-range defensemen in fantasy drafts this year. Next team, the Philadelphia Flyers, who I am obligated to talk about even though I really don't want to. I have Travis Konecny for 24 goals, 59 points. I have Cam Atkinson for 24 goals, 52 points. I really think that John Tortorella is going to come in there, institute a defense-first system, much like he did in Columbus, and everyone is just going to suffer as a result. It's really tough to see a ton of upside for anyone in Philadelphia. The top-end talent really isn't there, and also the system is going to hold people down. It's really tough to project someone to really break out of that system and provide a ton of fantasy relevance. Mostly, I think you're going to end up with just a bunch of streamer-level players on the Flyers this year. The third player that a lot of people are, I guess, interested in from the Flyers is Tony DeAngelo, who I have for 11 goals and 41 points. It's obviously a bit of a step back from what he was doing with the Carolina Hurricanes, but to be honest, he's going to what was the worst power play in the league last year. 12.6% is the Flyers' conversion rate last year. Now they get Couturier back this year. Hopefully he's back to full strength. And obviously DeAngelo is a great power play quarterback in his own right. But I don't think that's going to be enough for DeAngelo to really have a terrific season. I don't think he's going to see enough even strength time on ice to really elevate beyond these numbers. So it's really hard for me to see DeAngelo getting even to 50 points on this season unless something really significant changes about my assumptions for him. I have him for 19 minutes and 15 seconds average time on ice, including obviously all the power play one time in Philadelphia at this point. Cruising on through here, we have the Pittsburgh Penguins. Jake Guentzel is a guy I want to highlight here. 46 goals, 87 points. One of the most consistent producers that we've got in the game, to be honest. I think Guentzel is the absolute epitome of a second-round pick. He is a player with a really high floor. You kind of can't go wrong with him, so grabbing him in the second is never going to feel sexy, but it's never going to feel bad either. So really like Guentzel once again this year. No reason to expect anything different from him. Evgeny Malkin, I also interestingly have for 87 points, 32 goals there. I don't think Malkin is really slowing down. It's really just a question of your injury tolerance or risk tolerance, I guess. So with Malkin and with most players who have an injury history, I tend to discount it. I don't tend to give it a whole lot of credence when I'm drafting, just because I figured they're going to provide me with a ton when they're in my lineup. And when they're out of my lineup, it's not like I get a zero in my lineup. I get to go out and I get to add somebody off the waiver wire who I'm excited about. So really, I'm not discounting Malkin too much from this 87-point pace that I have him projected for. If you want to discount him based on injury risk, then go ahead. But just keep that in mind that you're not, even if Malkin goes out for a period of time, you're not taking a zero in your lineup during that time. You're able to go out and add someone who's going to provide at least decent value to your team. So don't let Malkin slip too far in your drafts, because whoever has him is really going to enjoy him when he is healthy. And lastly, from Pittsburgh, I want to mention Jeff Petrie, who I have for 9 goals and 44 points. And also, Petrie is a banger god. So definitely lots to look forward to from Petrie now that he's out of that Montreal situation that was so terrible for him last year. And honestly, he wasn't actually all that bad by the end of the season. If you look at his overall stats, it's a little better than I would have thought, just remembering what the season looked like for Petrie last year in Montreal. So I think in Pittsburgh, even without top power play time, he's honestly never really had top power play time in his career, so I don't think that's going to be a major hiccup for him. But obviously Pittsburgh, a much better team overall, and I think that'll play well for Petrie in terms of his overall stats. So Jeff Petrie, don't sleep on him, especially as your fourth defenseman, especially in Bangers Cats leagues. Definitely somebody who's going to have plenty of value in leagues this year. The last team we'll go over in this episode is the San Jose Sharks. And over there, we got to start with Timo Meier, 35 goals, 82 points. I don't really see a reason to discount Meier much from what he did last year. Now that he's getting the ice time, he's kept up that shots per 60 and scoring chances 4 per 60. That was a reason that I was into him as a potential breakout candidate. And now that he's getting the ice time, everything's still converting at the same clip, and Meier's an absolute stud. He shoots, he hits, he scores. What's not to love about Timo Meier? And his line mate, Thomas Hertl, is another player that a lot of people are going to be rostering. 29 goals, a nice 69 points here that I have projected for Hertl. I think that Hertl and Meier will feed off each other pretty well once again. I kind of projected them very similarly to how they ended up last year. Don't really see a strong reason to go away from that this year. Brent Burns leaving town doesn't actually change a lot for me in terms of the overall team. You know, there's even a chance that someone coming in like William Eklund, if he has a terrific rookie season, could actually change these projections for the better. So I don't really see a reason to fade Hertl or fade Meier just based on San Jose being bad. They were bad last year and they're both just fine, and I expect them to be the same this year. Lastly, from San Jose, I want to talk about Erik Karlsson, because I do have a pretty lofty projection on him. I have 11 goals and 60 points as my 82-game pace for Erik Karlsson. And I don't think this is all that crazy. Karlsson, in the time that he was healthy last year, paced at 57 points, which I don't think a lot of people realized. And I think Karlsson, obviously with Burns out of town, is now the power play guy there in San Jose. So a few points bump up to 3 points. I don't think that's all that outlandish from his pace last year. And I think that Karlsson will probably get discounted by a lot of managers for the injury risk, and definitely if that's something that you're going to incorporate into your analysis, you have to take that into account with Karlsson. He has been injured a fair bit these last few years. Like I mentioned with Malkin, it's not something that affects my rankings a lot, and especially where Karlsson, I think, is going to be drafted in your leagues. I think he's going to be a pretty solid value when he's healthy, and when he's not healthy, you're going to be able to stream someone in who's going to replace a fair bit of that projection anyway. That's all I've got for this episode. Hopefully it brought you some value, helped you get a little bit better at fantasy hockey today. If you're interested in drafting, you can't get enough of drafting just like the rest of us fantasy hockey freaks, why don't you get in the Apples and Genos Discord server? Link is in the show description. We've been running best balls pretty much all off season, and we'll get you into the next one. Basically, best ball is you draft the team and you set it and forget it. You don't play with it throughout the year. You just see who scores the most points throughout the year. So get in, get some practice with a real live draft. Costs you $5 to enter them, and there will be a prize for whoever wins the league at the end of the year. It's a really good way to flex your draft muscles. So get in here, get into a best ball, flex those draft muscles, get ready for your draft. And many thanks once again to the band there for supplying the music for the podcast. Be sure to check out their Spotify as well. That's it, folks. Much love.